Hi, everyone. I'm Marty Logan. Thank you for choosing to listen to Nepal Now on the Move from the literally millions of podcasts available. This is our third episode since we shifted the show's focus to migration to, from, and within Nepal. And I gotta say, I'm biting my nails waiting for feedback from you listeners, especially longtime fans. Good, bad, or indifferent, I want to hear it. Your responses are the best way for me to see how I might improve the show. So please take a minute to leave a comment on Instagram, Facebook, or LinkedIn. Email me at nepalnowpod@gmail.com or leave a review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Today we're speaking with another returnee to Nepal, but one with a much different story than what we heard from baker entrepreneur Ansal last week. We're calling her Sushma, which is not her real name, because she has received threats from people who were involved in sending her to work in Kuwait. Sushma has filed a report with police, but nothing has come of it as of March 31st. The good news is that she is back home with her children, who she was very worried about, and she's taking medication. Sushma left her village in Nepal's Karnali region last November, and within a month was in Dubai, waiting to be taken to a job in Kuwait. She arrived there after a month, but stayed only 3 months because she fell ill. But not before being threatened with harm if she didn't go back to work. She also saw another worker being hit by a house owner, had her phone taken away, and was told by employers in another house that she couldn't leave because we bought you. Back in Nepal, Sushma, who didn't attend school as a child and used to earn money in her village by manually breaking stones, is now settled with a huge debt after her family mortgaged land to pay the agent for her ticket home. But given what she experienced in her brief stay in Kuwait, that seems far better than other possible outcomes. This is the first episode where I worked with an interpreter, Pranika Koyu, who was in the studio with Sushma and I. She did an amazing job, but occasionally you might hear that I left out a voice when I shouldn't have. That and any other editing errors are mine. A couple other notes. You'll hear us talk about lakhs of money. 1 lakh is 100,000 Nepali rupees, which is about 750 US dollars. Also, Sushma says sometimes that the agent demanded 3,50,000 rupees for her return. Other times she says 3,20,000. We settled on the last amount. Finally, near the end of our conversation, I asked Sushma about something I had heard earlier in the day about her police case. I deliberately deleted the name of the person who told me for the same security reasons. Just one more thing. I recently found out that there are two versions of the show on Apple Podcasts. I have no idea how that happened, but it means I need to delete one. The choice is easy. One has all the episodes and one has fewer, and one has quite a few subscribers, I like to think, and one has only about 20. So that second one I'm going to delete. I'll do that tomorrow. If you listen to the show on Apple Podcasts, just be aware of that. And if you notice something has changed, particularly if you can't access the show anymore, then I would suggest you delete it from Apple Podcasts and then resubscribe or refollow, however it works on Apple. If you have any problems beyond that, let me know, nepalnowpod@gmail.com or on our social channels. Please listen now to Sushma's story. Sushma, welcome to Nepal Now Podcast.
Sushma ji, tapailai Nepal Now podcast ma swagat cha.
Dhanyawad sir.
We're going to talk about your migration experience. You've recently come back, but first, if you can tell me a little bit about where you grew up and your childhood, what that was like.
Hurkine ta yahi Nepal mai hurkego.
I grew up in Nepal only. I have not even gone to India. I got married I have children, but then like I lost contact with my husband after 2-3 years, and that's why I had to go abroad.
Okay. And I understand that you are from Rukum West, is that right?
Solen Maito, madam, Rukum Bibaboko.
I am, like, my maternal home is in Solen, and I got married to Rukum. I mean, I got married in Rukum.
Okay. Mm. And so your family is, you still have your own family in Salyan?
My brothers' parents are there in sisters, they are in Salyan, but I got married in Rukum.
Okay, and just to go back a little bit, when you were younger, did you have a chance to go to school?
My parents might have wanted to send us to school, but I didn't go.
Was it a matter of money? You didn't have money, or there was just other things? You had work to do? You were busy with other household things?
My parents, like my father, might have had money also, but I don't know. And like I used to play with other children, and I would go to jungle to collect feathers with them. So that's why I didn't go.
It sounds like where you were growing up, it wasn't unusual for kids to not go to school.
Well, like the children, they used to go to school. Elder brothers were there, elder sisters were there. But I don't know why I didn't go.
And when you got married, how old were you?
17 years.
Your parents, I guess your parents arranged this. Were you okay and happy to be married?
It was not my parents who arranged the marriage. It was I myself who found him.
And so you got married, you were 17. You then moved to your husband's house in Rukum. How many children have you had since then?
Anita,
how many do you have, I should say?
Two sons and one daughter.
So you lost contact with your husband, but you stayed in his house in Rukum. In Rukum, is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
And when did you start thinking about going to work outside of Nepal?
मैले त्यहाँ घरमा धेरै गिट्टीहरू बालुवाहरू घरको कामहरू बाहिरतिर गरेँ गरेँ केटाकेटीलाई उर्काएँ.
So, you know, at home, I used to do all sorts of like this stone-related work, like gitti, the stone crossing and all that, because I had to take care of my three children. The husband, I also tried to get him into contact, and sometimes he would be in touch also, but then he would not send any money. And around that time, there was this one woman who had gone abroad. So with her, I came to know about going out. And I went to Kuwait, and I really had a lot of difficult times there.
So the woman who told her about this experience, was she in the same village or nearby, or how did she hear about this?
So she is my husband's mother's sister's daughter. So they are maternal cousins, yeah.
Okay. Did they go together, or was that woman already there or had already been there and then came back?
So
this woman had been working in Kuwait for the last 1 year. I had contact with her, and then she's still there. I'm the only one who came back.
Okay. And what did she tell her about working in Kuwait? What was it like? Money, conditions, all of that?
Yeah, Yeah, she just told me that, you know, you will be able to do it. It is just household course to be done. And then I said, okay, then get me in touch with the agent. She gave me the phone number. I contacted, I came here, made my passport, and I went.
Did it happen that quickly? It sounds very fast. Like from the time she first talked to this woman about being in Kuwait to the time that she came to Kathmandu to make her passport, how much time was it?
त्योसँग त एक दुईचोटि कन्ट्याक्ट भएको अनि यहाँ काठमाडौँ पासपोर्ट बनाउन बस्न जान त एक महिना लाग्यो.
सो आई ह्याड कन्ट्याक्टेड विथ दिस निस अफ माइन फर अबाउट लाइक 4-5 टाइम्स एन्ड देन आई केम टु काठमाडौँ मेड पासपोर्ट डुइङ अल द्याट इट टुक लाइक 1 month.
Well, it's very fast. And I know that her friend in Kuwait made it sound like it was quite doable and a fairly good prospect. But were you at all worried about going? And what did the people around you in the village, like your in-laws and other people in the family and friends, what did they say to you about the possibility of going?
परिवारहरुलाई मैले बाबुहरु रुन्छन् अनि डर मान्छन् मम्मी कहाँ जान लागिन भनेर भनेको हैन.
Like, I did not tell my children because I thought they would cry. And I told my father that I will be back after 2 years. And my father said, you will not go.
So when you left to come here and make your passport, your children were with your father-in-law and mother-in-law in Rukum, or were they in Salyan with your...
They were in Rukum only, but at the house of her, my cousin, the mother of my cousin, my auntie.
It's an agent we're talking about, mm-hmm. right, who helped you get the job. Just to confirm that the agent is based here in Kathmandu, and so you came here, you paid the agent to basically take you to Kuwait, and... How much did you have to pay and how quickly did that happen, like after you came to Kathmandu?
The agent is here in Kathmandu only. I did not have to pay any money to the agent. When I came from Rukum, that was the only expense of my own. The plane ticket to Kuwait was covered by the agent.
Okay, and so the agent arranged the job for you. He arranged the position. He got you the job. And so there was no price to pay him for doing that work?
No, he like the agent did not take any money. I did not have to pay him anything. But when I wanted to come back, I had to pay 3,20,000 Nepali rupees while I was there in Kuwait only. I had to have it deposited in his account.
So that was after she told him she wanted to come back, then she had to pay that money and then he arranged the plane ticket back?
Yeah, I don't know. They never told me anything.
Okay.
So at first, I got sick and I wanted to come back and I told them that please get me back. And then they said like I have to pay 3,50,000. They also said like when you come back, we will see you. We will see you. And 1,20,000 rupees, I already had it as my salary there. And then so 2 lakh got topped up from here. So 3,20,000 only has been paid.
So when exactly did you leave Kathmandu to go to Kuwait?
So November, last November.
This past November?
Yes.
Okay, quite recently. And so it was a direct plane flight from Kathmandu direct to Kuwait?
होइन यहाँ काठमाडौँबाट लग्यो लग्दाखेरि दुबई एक महिना राख्यो म्याडम.
एक महिना राख्यो. सो फ्रम काठमाडौँ आई वाज टेकन टु दुबई. There I stayed for 1 month and then taken to Kuwait.
And when you were going, did you think that what you were doing was legal, or did you think you were doing something under the table, something in the black market?
Nothing was told to us. And then, even the name of the manpower company was not told to us. They just said, the work will be fine. That is it.
Okay. So just to get some of the details, the agent who you were dealing with is different than the manpower company? They're two different things?
Yeah, dui jana cha, ani Dubai ma dui jana cha, Kuwait ma dui jana.
There were altogether 6 people involved, 2 here, 2 in Dubai, 2 in Kuwait. There used to be one room, which they used to refer as office. They had taken our mobile also, and at times they would give it to us just to be able to talk to our family.
And when you say we, because you keep saying we instead of I, how many people were you with and did you know who they were? Were they all men or women, or were there some men? Were you all going to the same place?
So there were altogether 21 or 22 of us who were taken to Dubai, and there we had to wait to be able to go to Kuwait to work. And of the 21, 22 also, we would not be sent to one place to work. We will be sent to different places where they would say it's our office. And I don't know who all went where. As for me, I stayed for 3 months. I worked and I got sick. So I told them that I want to return, but they did not want me to return. They said that they would, if you give us 3,50,000 Nepali rupees, then we will get you returned. But I kept on telling them that my children at home will cry, will look for me, and I have to come back.
So when you left here and you went, you were going to Kuwait, you stopped in Dubai. What did you do in Dubai during that month? Were you working or training or just waiting? Did you get worried that you might not actually be going to Kuwait? What did they tell you?
So first of all, for 1 week, we were not going anywhere. But then slowly, one or two of them started to get sent to Kuwait. Our mobiles were not with us. And they wouldn't actually tell us where we were going, what kind of work it would be. It took a month for me to go to Kuwait working. It was just like that. Nothing was told to us.
Mm. And were they living and sleeping in the same room? Was it one big room, or did they have separate rooms? Were they sleeping on the floor? Were they comfortable? It sounds like possibly not, if they're not getting enough food and water.
यस्तो त्यहाँ केटा मान्छे बस्ने रुम अलग थियो, केटी मान्छे बस्ने रुम अलग थियो, अनि मेरो सोचाइबाट अब खाना नदिएर.
It was like this, there was one room for men and one room for women. When I saw that, I thought that we will not be provided with food and we will die just like that. But it was not like that. In reality, we were given meal 2 times.
2 times a day?
2 times a day.
And then one day they said, okay, today you're going to Kuwait. How many of you went on that day? And men and women, or just women?
छोरा मान्छे त त्यहाँ लाँदैन लिनै ल्याएको थिएन छोरी मान्छे ल्याएको थियो दिल्लीबाट कता कताबाट लगिरहेको थियो.
So it was 5 of us, so women, who went to Kuwait from Dubai. There were no men.
And so where were you taken in Kuwait? Where was the place that you ended up working?
मैले काम गर्ने ठाउँ सुरुमा पठायो, पठाउँदाखेरि त्यहाँ साँझ पठाएको साँझ.
So in the beginning, on the day we reached Kuwait, around evening, an Arabi, he came to pick us up. and get us. And then I went there. And it had just been 2 or 3 days that I was working. The house, it already had one Filipino help. But I did not know that that Filipino help was having fights with the house owner's wife. And on the third day, I kind of got to see that she had marks on her body. She was hit by the serving spoons. And then I also saw, like, once it being thrown. And then I came and I said, like, what's happening? What's happening? And then I was pushed aside, not allowed to see what was happening inside, saying, like, you don't come here. There could have been a knife also. I'm not sure where the Filipino went.
So after that, you didn't see the Filipino working there anymore?
No, dekhena 6 din tak maile kaam gare ani maile office ma phone gare ma ta yaha kaam gardina basdina malai lai janu.
Yeah, I did not see the Filipino. So in total, I worked there for 6 days. And then I told the office that I don't want to work here, like, get me out of here. And then they took me back to the office and they sent me to another house.
And did you want to leave the house because you also were abused by the family there? Or were you just worried about working in that house?
I felt that that I will also get killed. And also, I didn't feel that they were good people. And I just didn't want to work there.
And how was the new house that you got sent to?
So I was about to get the salary. Just like 2 or 3 days were left. But I got sick and then I was brought to the office.
And so did you call the office and say, I'm sick, please come and take me away? Or did they see that you were not, that you were ill themselves and the house, the owners of the house asked you to be taken?
I got sick. And then, so there's this person called Baba. So he asked whether I want to work or not. And then I said that I am sick. Either I have to be, like, returned to Nepal or take me to the office. And then I was taken to the office.
And then how long after being taken to the office, after getting sick, how long before you came home then, back to Nepal?
I was not sent back to Nepal immediately. I stayed in the office for 2 weeks. And then, so these people, they started to say, either you return to the house and start working, or we will see. We will see in a, like, you know, threatening way. And then I told them that I am sick. And then, like, I am sick, I cannot work. And I was also taken to doctor by the people at the house, like, where I was working. Like, everything, nothing was shown in the examination. In the meantime, they, like my cousins, had started to contact this agent, like started to look for me. And the agent had blocked my phone as well as theirs. And they told me that if I pay 3,50,000 Nepali rupees, then I will be sent home. During that time, I came to know about the agent from Delhi, with whom I stayed for 2 weeks. And then again, I got sent to another house to work.
So from the original agent in Kuwait, where you stayed for 2 weeks after getting sick, then you moved to another agent for 2 more weeks, and that agent sent you to work at another house. Is that?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. And were you still feeling sick all of this time? Did it change?
So in between, I did get sick and my head was not working. My legs, they felt weak and it was like hard of breathing also, right? And my stomach also would hurt. And I actually told this new household where I was working what I was facing, and had already been a month. But they said, like, we have bought you and we cannot give you back. And the agent out there were also asking for money, right? And they were saying that I have to give them money. Then I told them, like, we should collect money to be paid to them at any cost. We have to, like, even if it is selling my land, that's okay. And but this new household, when they came to, when I told them that why I cannot work and how sick I am, they kind of like held me captive for 6 days. I was not given food, no nothing. I was closed in the room. My clothes were taken, my things were taken, and I really suffered a lot.
Wow. 6 days that you were kept locked up without being able to leave or call anyone?
नहीं एक महीना तो मले यहाँ कुरा रखें घर कुरा रख दा करी एक महीना तो अगर मोबाइल भी नहीं दिन थे.
So I was locked up for 6 days in the room, and my mobile had also been taken, and I was not given any food.
And then how did you finally get out and leave that house?
त्यो घर त यस्तो त्यहीँको कुवेतको एजेन्टहरूलाई पक्रियो अनि मैले दाइ मलाई म
I got to contact, like, I was contacting Kuwait's agent in Kuwait only. And then I told them, like, brother, listen, like, I am so sick. I cannot work. I will pay, but get me returned. And they said, like, I have to pay 300,000 rupees, like 3 lakh rupees, which I managed in a sense, like, from the people here in Nepal, they had it deposited, and that's how I returned.
And then you came directly back to Nepal.
सिधै आको हैन 5 दिन बसेको अफिसमा बिरामी त्यही कुवेतको अफिसमा.
In Kuwait, the office in Kuwait, I stayed there for 5 days, and then I flew direct from Kuwait to Nepal.
And during those 5 days, did people try to convince you to stay there? Did they treat you well? Did they treat you badly?
अनि त्यो एउटा चाहिएकाले त्यो दिल्लीको चाहिएकाले त राम्रो गर्थ्यो एउटा त्यो बङ्गाली देशको थियो त्यसले त.
So there were two of them there, and the one from Delhi, that person was not very harsh, but the one who is a Bengali, he used to be very harsh. He used to say, like, go back to working or else, like, we can do anything to you. And then you're not going home. He used to say that. And the one from Delhi, he used to say that, no, we should not be saying like that. She's honest. She would have worked had she not been sickly. But now she's sick, so she can go back.
And then at one point, the money was deposited in their bank account. So they got you a ticket, and then you came back. Is that right?
Yeah, so the money got deposited in their account, and 3 days after, I got to fly back.
And how long ago was that now?
It's just been a week.
So you've paid the money, the 350,000 rupees. Are you trying to get that money back or some of that money back? Are you angry at the agent or what's happening?
अब फिर्ता लिने कोसिस त गरेको मैडम अब के भनम कसरी.
Yeah, so after coming back from there, I have tried to get the money back from the agent. My children are crying. They just want to know when I'm coming back to the village. Moneylenders are after me. They are saying, like, oh, you have come back, you have earned, and you are staying in Kathmandu. Why are you staying in Kathmandu? Pay us back, like that. I am trying to get my money back, but it's not going anywhere.
And then how do you feel now? Do you feel better since you came back to Nepal?
बिरामी छु म्याडम बिरामी नै छु बिरामी नभएको भए त हाँस्ने खुस्ने यस्तो खुसी रहन थिएँ म यस्तो सास फेर्न.
I'm not well. I still feel sickly. Like my breathing, it's like it fluctuates. And my legs also, they're not as weak, they're not as strong. And then my head also, like I see the same person also like in four, like it's a hallucination sort of thing. And I don't know how I'm talking with you guys also at the moment. I'm not well.
Okay, so we'll try to make this quick. So the money that you had to give the agent, so 120,000, I think, was from your own salary, from the work that you did there. And then the rest, over 200,000, was raised here by people here. Was that borrowed from money lenders, that 200,000?
So 1,20,000 Nepali rupees was my salary, which actually had not been given to me. But the agents in Kuwait, they made sure that I got that money from the house owner, like where I was working. The other 2 lakh Nepali rupees, how I arranged is like, I had to, my younger brother-in-law had to mortgage it from people to get the money. Nobody was giving, so the land had to be mortgaged.
And so what do you plan to do now? When do you think you'll be able to go back to your village and see your kids? Do you need to go see about your health before you do that?
First, of course, like it will be meeting children, taking care of my health. And then after I get well, then look for the work so that I can pay back, cover my expenses. Otherwise, I'll not be able to live.
Why do you think your trip, your time in Kuwait ended the way it ended? Like, why do you think you had such a bad experience in Kuwait?
I don't know why that happened to me.
I'm wondering if she, during this whole time, she talked to the friend that she was first in touch with who mm-hmm. told her about this work. Like, did you talk to her? Did you get advice from her? Has she said anything about what happened to you?
Actually, I had also asked her to help me. And when she came to know about my situation, she had contacted the agent also, but her number was also blocked, got blocked by the agent. But she seems to have told the agent that I am her family member. And if anything happens to me, then it will not be good for her as well. However, her house owner also ran away without giving her the money. And then her mobile also had been taken by the house owner. So for a month or so, she was contactless.
So I know this just happened and there's still a lot that you need to deal with and think about and understand. But do you think you might try to go back again to work overseas? Maybe not Kuwait, but another place?
I don't think my children will allow me to go. They are very scared.
Once you're back in the village and your health is okay and things are back to normal, the way they used to be, how will you make money? How will you earn for your children?
I don't know, like, how will I be able to take care of that? Because it will take me at least 1 or 2 months to get well. And, like, farming also, it doesn't produce much. We don't have any other source of income. I don't know how I will be taking care of my expenses.
If someone in your family or in your village, someone you know, asks you, should I go overseas to work, to earn money, what would you say to them?
What will I say? Like, I returned because I was sick. But if anybody wants to go, I will not say, don't go. How can I say that? It's their own choice. But I will indeed tell them that there might be problems like language issues. Let them do what they want.
Just one last question. Do you think you got sick because of the stress of being in this different place? Like, do you think it was a physical thing or like a mental stress thing or just a combination of not feeling good overall?
I don't know why, I mean, it happened, but at least for the first 2 months, I was working quite well. Even if they were screaming, we were thinking of our family, we were thinking of our debts, and then we were working. But by the third month, I was really not feeling well.
Earlier today, I spoke to, and he said that you were going, or you had made a report to the police. So if you want to tell me something about this, I'm interested to know what that is about, but if you can't talk about it or don't want to talk about it, that's also okay.
Like, I filed a complaint, hoping that, you know, it might bring me back some of my money.
Against the agent?
So I filed the complaint against the agent, hoping that it might bring me back some of my money.
And do the police think it's possible?
So yesterday when police was calling them in their number, they were answering the phone. But today they said it's switched off.
The police phone is switched off?
The agent's phone is switched off. So yesterday police called them, the agent, and the phone call was being answered. But now the police are saying that it is switched off.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. I know it's not easy to talk about these things, and we kept you a long time. You're not feeling well. So really, really thank you very much. I really appreciate it. But is there something you want to say before we finish?
There's nothing really much to say. Whatever there was, I have already said it.
Okay. Good luck. I hope your health gets better. And if you're fortunate, you'll get at least some of your money back from the agent.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you once again to Sushma for sharing her story when she was still feeling ill and anxious to return to her village. Thank you also to Pauraki Nepal, which works with female returnee migrant workers, for introducing us to Sushma. Let us know what you thought of this episode. We're at Nepal Now Pod on Instagram, LinkedIn, and Facebook. Next time, we will certainly be talking to Bharat Adhikari, who returned from Oman, started a small business, then quickly gave it up. He was supposed to be featured in this episode, but we thought it was important to get Sushma's experience online as soon as possible. I'll talk to you next time.